The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is not a machine. It's someone that we are called to engage with on a single basis. And it's very easy to get to a place where we are independent. It's like singing. I can easily just say, okay, well, I can sing. When I'm scheduled to lead worship on Sunday, I don't have to pray. I don't have to read the word. I can just come and rely on my talent. It may work. It may work. But am I really serving the purposes of God? Because God, Jesus said in the last days, some will say, well, we delivered people, we made miracles, we did all of these things, and he said, and yet I never knew you. But sometimes we think those guys are people that didn't have a relationship with God, or are people that didn't have the Holy Spirit. I believe Jesus is actually speaking about people that truly functioned in the Spirit of God. They healed the sick, they cast out demons, they did all of these miracle things, and yet Jesus is saying, I've never known you. Because from our relationship with the Holy Spirit flows kind of two rivers. There is the anointing within you, and there is the anointing upon you. And 1 John speaks about the anointing within us that teaches us all things, that the one that gives us all the revelation knowledge. And then there is the anointing upon us, which is found in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, you know, the one that we do for ministry. So these are two completely places. And sometimes we focus so much on the ministry side of the anointing of the Spirit than the one inside that tells you, give thanks to God, worship Him, glorify Him. So thanksgiving is really a place where we need to really trust God that it is really established in our hearts. In the Old Testament, I can even understand the Israelites, they didn't have the Holy Spirit inside of them, so it was very tough to stick to these things. We have at least the Holy Spirit, but the worst is we have the Holy Spirit, but sometimes we don't give thanks, and that is very dangerous. So let's go to the life of David. And this is the instance when David, they are bringing the ark back in Jerusalem. You know, the Ark of Covenant, actually, if you think of the Ark of Covenant, inside there were testimonies, the tablets where there was the Ten Commandments, the staff of Aaron, which budded, and you also found the manna. So those three things were in the Ark of Covenant. So actually see that there are two major things that God made sure that Israelites had to keep. It was the covenant, and it was testimonies. Those three things were called testimonies and the Ark of Covenant. And I believe as believers, these two things are major in our lives. Our covenant with God, in our testimony. In fact, the scriptures say they overcame him, the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. What did Jesus say about his blood? It was the blood of the covenant and our testimonies. So these two things, testimonies, come from a place of thanksgiving. There is no way we can testify if we are not grateful. So this is the moment where David is becoming first priority, making sure that the Ark of Covenant was in the midst, because the Ark of Covenant was the representation of the presence of God in the midst of his people. David said to Michal, his wife, it was before the Lord who chose me. This is when his wife says, how could you dance like this? How can you dance like a crazy man? The reality is, this lady, Saul's daughter, probably didn't have a reference of what it meant to be a shepherd and then becoming a king, facing lions and then finding himself as a king, writing some of the songs, never knew whether he would launch a CD one day like Mason Tumba, or if he would sing one day in the courts of the king or something. But then David had a reference. In fact, when you look at what David is saying, you will see the entire life of David was really a life of thanksgiving. David knew what it meant to be in the situation he was from his childhood up to where God led him. I think when we lose the picture of salvation, it is very difficult to give thanks to God. That is why in churches, sometimes when we have worship, some people don't really care. Sometimes we don't care. You know why we don't care? Because we forget the picture of our salvation, of how it was like before we knew Christ. You know, like Cornel Baker often asks, what really changed before we knew Christ? And now that we know Christ, what really changed? If we are aware of what really took place, we cannot be silent. because there will be like a fire in our hearts that will always lead us to a place where we want to testify. You know, I love Todd White. The reason why I like him is because this guy, I can see that he's so much aware of the change that took place in his life. And that is why everywhere he goes, he wants to preach. He wants to pray for someone because he knows where he comes from. I think sometimes we forget about it, especially church boys like me, grew up in church. Sometimes we don't always know what really changed because we didn't really change. We just made a commitment, but we were fine already. We don't really know much. Yeah, so I remember when we had to repent. Sometimes it was the most tough thing. Okay, what should I repent? Should I maybe say, Lord, I lied? Or maybe because I knew, like, okay, maybe sin is lying, or maybe stealing. Maybe I should say also, Lord, I stole something, but I didn't steal. Because, you know, well, how do I repent, you know? No, we're not perfect, but great. Thanks be to God for his grace in our lives. David said to Michael, it was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from this house, from his house, when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people of Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But by these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor. And Michael, daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death, which is crazy. Suddenly, after this, I'm not saying it because she criticized David that she became barren, but this is just the outflow of this text, is that right after rebuking David or complaining about David celebrating God, there is this sad event that happened to her. Again, like we saw with the story of Lucifer, there was troubles after he forgot about Thanksgiving. Is the Israelite captivity after they forgot about giving thanks to God. Even in this moment, we see David's wife in trouble as well, right after complaining about David's thanksgiving to God. And I'm not saying that was the will of God for her to be barren. I'm not saying that. All I'm just saying is that you will often see a pattern of chaos whenever people were not grateful anymore to God. You will always see that there was, it either became a door for the enemy to step in, or it either became a, there was a discipline by either from God. It is constantly happening. It happens always through scriptures, even in the New Testament. So I believe it's very important that we remind ourselves that we are not too special than the fallen angels. We are not too special than the Israelites. That we have to constantly think about this thing, remembering, you know, the worst that can happen to a leader is when he forgets that even himself is in God's hand. You know, John, in Revelation chapter 1, there is one thing that he saw seven stars in the hand of Jesus. And the angel says, the seven stars you see are the seven angels or the seven messengers of the seven churches, because all the leaders are in God's hands. Our lives is in God's hands. But when we forget about it, that is worse. Because he has all authority in his hands. So it's very important that we constantly live from a place of knowing that our lives is not defined by whatever we think it is the definition, but our lives is all by grace. Paul says, when you read all the letters of Paul, many times when he introduces himself, he says, I, Paul, the apostle, by the grace of God. In fact, the word thanksgiving in French is the word action de grâce. In many languages, thanksgiving is often connected to the word grace. Actually, the lack of thanksgiving is falling actually from grace. It's when we don't thank God anymore. And that is what happened to Lucifer, to the Israelites, many of them, the lack of thanksgiving. So let's go to the next slide. This is in the life of Jesus. This is the five times in the Gospels where Jesus is literally giving thanks to God. And you'll often see whenever, in many cases, Jesus, or in these cases particularly, you'll notice that when the miracles happen, Jesus didn't pray and ask God for the miracle to happen. He just thanked God. And suddenly, there was a miracle that happened. In fact, yesterday, I met someone from Stellenbosch. One of the friends drowned while they either went to swim from Stellenbosch congregation. And then the guy was taken to the hospital. He was completely dead, almost. He was almost dead. He was dead. Wow. He was dead. The guy died. So they were at the hospital outside, and they were just thanking God. 30 minutes later, they came to tell them that the guy is breathing now. So I was just sharing with that person about what I was going to share today. He said, wow, this is true. This is what happened to us. Many times, you'll see even the multiplication of the bread. Jesus never said, Father, would you multiply the bread? No. The Bible says he gave thanks to God. Can someone maybe read for us John 6, verse 11? Leon, I love the voice of Leon. I think... I call him in French properly, Leon.
Difficult. 6:11. It says, Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish as much as they wanted.
He never said, Father, multiply the bread. Now people are hungry. Lord, remember them. You know, I've preached them for hours and hours. They've been sitting here. Many times we make long prayers because we are not rooted in our thanksgiving to God. A lot. I believe today, even in the prophetic, one of the ways to grow in the prophetic is to be able to say, thank you, Lord, that I can see. Automatically, that creates room to see. You know, I believe, you know, if we have to grow supernaturally, in whatever we want, we need to acknowledge. That's why in secessionist movement, because they don't acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit, the move of the Spirit, it doesn't happen. So faith is really a result of thanksgiving. You're acknowledging that God is God, that He's able to do what He wants to do. Before He rose Lazarus, He gave thanks. Feeding the 5,000 people, gave thanks. Even when He was on the Last Supper. In fact, before he took the wine, he gave thanks to God. Before he took the bread, he gave thanks to God. Two times in that particular scripture. You can maybe read it for us in Luke 22, verse 17, verse 19. You could have just said, oh, thank you, Lord. Eat and drink.
All right, Luke 22, 17. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. 22:17. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, and then 18 says, for I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
This is powerful. That Jesus in this Last Supper, before his crucifixion, before the wine gave thanks, before the bread he gave thanks. In other words, it's a culture, consistent culture that we have to establish. Remember when Joseph had to interpret the dream, when he spoke to Pharaoh, he said, if this thing came two times, that probably means that it has been decreed. In other words, it's very important that we constantly give thanks to God for what he has done. You know, there is one thing to say thanks. You know, sometimes there is thanks and thanks. You know, some thanks can be just a wastage of time. Eh? Just let me just entertain this person by saying, oh, thanks. But it's not really a real thank you. You know, because the real thank you comes from their hearts. Sometimes it can even take long to articulate it because it's real. I think sometimes we speak too much. And that is because we don't often many times allow the Holy Spirit to really do the work in our hearts so that our lifestyle demonstrates that we are thankful to God. We know why Africa is in trouble, because many of the presidents in Africa, many of the leaders, 20 years ago, they were in trouble, suffering, in poverty. They were also crying for the country, trusting that one day they will become leaders. But when they became leaders, they forgot about where they came from. They forgot about thanksgiving. And as a consequence, we are in trouble. We are in trouble. And when we forget thanksgiving, we become foolish. This is what happened to the devil. When he forgot about being thankful, he was corrupted completely. When a man forgets about giving thanks to God, he becomes a crazy man. He can murder, he can do everything. Because there is no, it's the glory of God that is perverted. Therefore, the person will pursue his own glory. You know, so when we forget about thanksgiving, we are falling away from grace. And that is not great. So you will also always see that the grace of God and thanksgiving are always connected. They are always connected. Because Bible says we are saved by grace through faith. You know, if I forget that the only reason why I sing is because of the grace of God, then I'm in trouble. The only reason why I'm standing on my feet is by the grace of God, then I'm in trouble. So it's very important that we constantly, like David says in the psalm, that you are the one who made me. It is your hand that made me. That made me. And in Jeremiah, God says sometimes to the Israelites, says, like clay in the potter's hand, so you are in my hands. So if you would think of our lives like clay in the potter's hand, we will know that where we are now, we are where we are because of his grace. But if suddenly we start living independently from him, that is the most dangerous setup we can find ourselves. So these angels and Satan, they are having the same gift, the same thing they receive from God, but suddenly not serving God's purpose. There are even people around there with ministries, but that have already gone away from thanksgiving. And suddenly, we may call it a ministry, but it's not a ministry. It is exactly the same, just like the fallen angel doing the things, the demonic things. So I believe it's very important that we constantly establish that. Thanksgiving doesn't happen just spiritually before God. We can also thank people for what they do. You know, if today, if I'm standing on this pulpit, because Pastor D asked me to preach, he gave me the platform. If I start rebelling against him, God will fight me. That's how God works. That's how God works. That's how it looks practically. If I don't acknowledge the person who gave me the platform, God will not honor my own ministry, as much as gifted I can be. If I don't honor the person who have given me the platform, God will not honor what I do. And this is the spiritual principle. If you do not honor your father and mother, you will not live long. And I think sometimes we forget about it. We think, oh, I'm gifted. Ooh, I'm supernaturally gifted. I'm highly favored. Yes, it's great. But it's important to acknowledge the steps. It's very important. In the African culture, one of the cultures in Congo, it says, even if someone gave you a glass of water, you have to always be thankful. Very important. If someone gave you a mic, there are churches where the mic is never given to other preachers than the reverend himself. So if I'm in ministry today, even though God called me, David was appointed by God, but there was at least someone who said to the king, oh, there is a buta there that can sing in the in the farms there. He can play the harp. Can you get him? It's always like that. There is a preacher who said once, he said, there will always be someone that will introduce you. So if I forget about the process, no matter how, even if I start resurrecting the dead in this service and everybody is seeing all the miracles, if I don't acknowledge the person who gave me the mic, I'll be in trouble with God. Just how practically it looks. You know, it's like your first boss or your boss who gave you the job when you sent your CV. Even if he's not spiritual, if you do not honor him, the Lord will not honor you. As much spiritual as you can be, the Lord will not honor you. He's not going to honor you. Because in the protocol of God giving you something to feed your kid, the Lord blessed you through that unbeliever boss. God works like that. So it's important. It's like our teachers in our schools, even if our teachers were atheists, if we learn mathematics through them, we have to be thankful and honor them for what they did. I'm not saying we are called to condone everything they do, but I'm just saying we are called to honor the process and the channels that God has used in our lives. You know, it's like if you are born in from a poor family, well, it is not God's fault. But I'm called to honor. If my parents are rich or poor, it doesn't matter. But I have to honor them because God has used them as the channel. Because thanksgiving can also get very spiritual and we forget about it in the natural. You know what I mean? So, whenever I have a friend of mine called Lindy Ann, she was in our church before. Today, I'm in this church because of her. She brought me to Shofar. Every time she's in Cape Town, I always try my best to meet up with her. I always thank her because she played a role in my life. You know what I mean? So, as much as I'm preaching with all the zeal, it's because one day we had the conversation and she brought me to Shofar. So, I have to honor her for that. So, that's how practically it looks. So, I want to encourage us to... We're going to maybe turn to one another. I think I've covered most of it. Can you turn to the next slide? Just make sure that I don't forget anything. Let me just emphasize on this. I love this scripture. It speaks about the word of Christ dwelling in our hearts richly and teaching and admonishing one another in wisdom, in thanksgiving, in singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and with thankfulness in our hearts to God. I love this scripture because it really speaks about the word of Christ. It's the rhema word of God. It's actually the flow of the Spirit in our hearts. You know, I believe when the Spirit of God really moves in our hearts, we learn to not only give thanks to God, but we also bless people. You know, the spiritual outflow of the Spirit is not just vertical, it's also horizontal. It always has an impact in the community. You will always see that thing in the scriptures in the Old Testament. Whenever people worship God, it had an impact on society. You know, so I believe thanksgiving has always an horizontal impact. So as we give thanks to God, the Lord blesses the people. The Lord blesses the world around us, and that's what we're gonna do with one another. We're gonna share with someone just something that you are thankful of before God for this year, and maybe. Maybe something that you're thankful of for someone that have done something in your life. Maybe for me, I may say, well, Pastor D gave me the pulpit to preach this year, and he acknowledged my ministry. It's great. You know, maybe it could be that, or maybe it's just to thank your parents for something they did, or, you know, thank God you got married or something. Or something, or maybe you got a boyfriend or girlfriend. Or maybe you got a Bible or cell phone or something. Let's maybe go to the next slide. I just want to make sure that I covered most of it. Yeah, I think I've covered on this. If you actually read the scriptures, in some translation says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. Some others say, let us have grace and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. So it's very important for us to constantly have that. So let's maybe turn to one another and maybe just testify of something that you are thankful of, and maybe something that someone did towards you, and maybe we can also pray for one another. Lord, thank you, God, for your presence in this place, Lord. Thank you for your appointment over with every one of us, God, this morning. And I pray, God, for Father God, the hand that was lifted, Lord. I pray, God, for just an ability and a strength to come back, like the prodigal son came back, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you, God, that by your Spirit, Lord, you are calling us back to the first love we had when we got saved, the first love we had when we received the Holy Spirit. Lord, my prayer, God, is that we may not turn our hearts away from you. We pray, God, that your word says it's your, we are standing on this grace. It is this grace that makes us stand, God. Father, and this is our prayer, God. We pray that we will not say that we stand because of our intelligence, God. We pray that we will behold your glory. We will behold your grace, God. We pray that we will celebrate your grace and that we will lean on your grace, Lord, to stand and to speak, God. Father God, we bring our hearts before you. Let us pray, God, for those that have been just struggling to, just to pray, God. Just to pray, spending some time with you, God. I just pray, God, that you renew the strength by your Spirit, God. Father God, even those that have been almost like feeling like burnout after this long year, God. I just pray for strength, Lord. Your word says those who wait on the Lord, they renew their strength, Lord. Lord, we pray, God, that your Spirit may really minister to our hearts, so that in our hearts we may have the melodies, Lord, melodies of thanksgiving, melodies that gives glory to you, God. Holy Spirit, we just want to honor you. We want to acknowledge your work in our midst. We pray that we'll live intentional with you, God. We pray, God, that we will grow in our intimacy with you. We will grow in understanding the peace that you minister to our hearts, Lord. We pray for every family, God. We pray that your blessing may rest upon each family, God. We pray, God, that thanksgiving shall be a culture established in our families, Father God, in our lives corporately, even individually, God. Father God, not from a place of religion, but from a place of freedom, from a place of intimacy and love in you, God. Father God, we give you glory. We give you honor. We pray, God, that our hearts shall be knitted with your heart. We pray, God, that we will be bound to you for eternity, so that every day and every single day of our lives, we will testify about your goodness, that we will be a people that will keep the covenant, that will also keep testimonies as really part of our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name, Father, we have prayed. We even pray, God, for Pastor D and Liana and the children, God. We pray, God, that you bless them, and we want to honor them, Lord. We pray, God, that you really extend them beyond the limits, God. We pray for your blessing to rest upon each individual in this congregation. Father God, we want to honor you for the fathers, for the mothers, Lord, for everyone, God. We honor you, God. We pray that you will give us grace to really establish a culture of honor, a culture of celebration of every gifting, Lord, of understanding the process, of also understanding the breakthrough and understanding, Lord, what you have established, Lord, because you are the Alpha and you are the Omega. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Thank you. And join us for some snacks. Come to the end of the service. If you need any prayer, you can always let me know. Somebody can pray with you. Thanks.